Welcome to Hampton Roads Perspectives, a public service of Odyssey. Weekly conversations about events and people making a difference in our community.
Good morning and welcome to Hampton Roads Perspectives. I'm Dale Murray. This morning we're diving into a topic that touches every one of us, aging and how we plan for it. Whether you're caring for a parent, helping a loved one, or just thinking about your own future, planning ahead can make all the difference. Joining me this morning is Ellen Duckworth, Sales Director at Westminster Canterbury on Chesapeake Bay, an exclusive faith-based nonprofit community that's helping transform the way we think about aging. Ellen, so good to have you with us this morning.
Thank you.
Let's start by giving folks a sense of what Westminster Canterbury is all about. Talk to our audience about the community and what really makes it special.
Well, first of all, you know, we've been here now for 43 years. We're located at 3100 Shore Drive, right on the banks of the Chesapeake Bay. So that's one of our biggest draws, as you can imagine, is for the residents to be able to walk 100 yards and go down the ramp and be on the beach.
That'd be nice.
So that's very nice. Yeah. But Westminster Canterbury was founded 43 years ago, and it was originally founded by the Episcopalian and the Presbyterian churches. And at that time, the vision was that we were going to serve the needs of the aging population of Hampton Roads. And like any good organization, you grow and you offer more options and you become more sensitive and tuned into what your community is needing and looking for. So where we are now is we, again, still at 3100 Shore Drive. We are, as you mentioned, an inclusive, faith-based, nonprofit organization. A lot of people don't realize we're nonprofit. And we are really here to just, at this point, change the perception of aging.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Lifestyle and staying healthy and being strong.
Yeah. You know, you've got a strong mission statement, enriching lives through purpose, belonging, and wellness. How did you bring that mission to life each day?
Well, it's through, first of all, it's through recognizing how do people age healthy? You know, what does it take to age well? And there's really three components of that we know. The first part is community.
Okay.
No matter what we want to do as we age is build a community, have people around us that we can talk to, engage with, laugh, socialize with. It has been proven over and over again that loneliness is just as dangerous as smoking three packs of cigarettes a day.
Really?
Yes, loneliness and isolation can lead to stroke, heart attack, depression. It increases and worsens the symptoms of any kind of dementia. So having a community is very important. And that's part of what we do is we have created community. The second thing is to just move, to be physical.
Okay.
To move, whether it's to go for a walk, whether it's to work out or dance or whatever it is that brings you joy, it is to move. And then the third thing really is what our mamas and daddies have told us, which is to eat well.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, to eat well, to be sensitive to what's on the plate in front of us, to think about how our body takes these nutrients in, what do we need. And I think those are the top three as far as just, you know, what we do when we think about what aging can look like and how we can age well.
Now, Ellen, one thing we all think about, maybe not soon enough, is planning for care.
Right.
Why is it so important to have a plan in place as we get older?
Well, we discuss this a lot. And the reason is because of the phone calls that we get. I have experienced not only personally with my family, but also with the phone calls that we get where a family member, whether it's a spouse or an adult child, is trying to navigate finding support, care, and rehabilitation for their parents or the spouse. And unfortunately, many of us don't know the business of aging, the different types of business models, the different types of care levels, what is paid for by insurance and what is not. So when you're in the middle of a medical crisis trying to make these decisions, you don't always make good choices. Also, you may not have something available that might be the location you'd like to go to. So if you can make a plan or come up with a program with your family, with your spouse, yourself, before you're in the middle of that medical crisis, it takes all that pressure off.
Yeah.
It's good about getting educated.
Yeah. It's hard having. I can think with my mother before she passed. It's hard getting that conversation started.
It is. Because let's face it, do we really want to talk about getting older and what we may face as we get older. No one really wants to do that. We want to talk about taking that cruise ship around the world. We want to talk about, you know, finally selling everything and jumping in a van and traveling across the United States. That's our dreams of retirement. But the reality is there could be a medical crisis. At some point, the majority of us are going to need support and care, and not putting a plan together in advance puts so much stress on the family and on you. I mean, if anyone's out there that has really thought about taking care of a loved one, maybe a parent or a spouse, you know, you don't want to be doing that while you're in the making decisions when you're in the middle of the crisis itself.
So, Ellen, what's one step people can take right now to begin planning for the future?
Well, I think the first thing is you can certainly come and visit us, okay?
Okay.
We are all about creating a plan, whether it's Westminster Canterbury or not. I mean, we go out into the community and we do lectures at churches just talking about what the plan looks like. But the most important thing is to go and visit communities, understand the different types of business models, what Medicare covers, what is not covered. And then you can also go to all kinds of educational programs. There are some great law firms locally that will put on educational programs. We offer educational programs and insight on how to plan for the future. So really starting to visit communities and getting educated now is important.
Ellen, I saw a recent study from the MIT AIDS Lab and John Hancock actually warning that most Americans aren't prepared for longer lifespans. Does that surprise you, or is that what you're seeing too?
Well, we automatically know that our residents on average live about 4 years longer than the national life expectancy. Well, think about it. When you're in a community where you are engaging in a vibrant lifestyle and you're talking to people, you've got others that are getting on the roof and cleaning the leaves off or shoveling the snow or change. You know, you're not having to do those things. But the biggest contribution to living longer today is being in community. You know, that really is the biggest part of it. But in answer to your question, one of the things we do at Westminster Canterbury is we have a foundation. So if our residents should outlive their asset base, or if through no fault of their own, those assets are diminished, our fellowship fund steps in and supports that individual through all levels of care.
Wonderful.
In fact, we're doing a fundraiser this Friday night called Festival of Trees, which is to raise monies for our foundation. We also give back to the community in different ways through contributions, and we support our team members through a couple different, like, scholarships funds and emergency funds.
Ellen, talk to our audience about the different types of care that are out there, because a lot of people aren't sure what their options actually look like.
Yes. So really, when you're to the point that you need care, what we recommend is that someone select a community while you're still independent, so that you can get into the community, enjoy the lifestyle, you know, and not have to worry. But as far as different types of care level, there's what they call assisted living, or even home assistance. And what this is, it's assistance with your activities of daily living. It's not medical support. It means that someone's going to come in and maybe help you get ready for the day, making sure that you have meals prepared, that you're taking your medication, that you're getting a shower when necessary. It's your activities of daily living. You can have that service provided you in your home by a home care agency, or you can move into a community that offers assisted living. So that's one level. There's also memory care. Memory care is for those individuals who are dealing with a dementia diagnosis of some sort, and there's a variety of different diseases. People are familiar with things like Alzheimer's, you know, Lewy body, different terms of dementia diseases. Those are usually, again, an environment where individuals are supported with their activities of daily living, but it isn't a secured environment, so that if they have a tendency to wander, maybe are more forgetful but don't quite need medical care. Then there's also your long-term nursing care, and that's going to be your nursing home. So those are really the three levels that are identified. And what most individuals do not know is Medicare does not pay for that. So if you think that Medicare is going to pay for someone to come into your home to assist you with your activities of daily living, or if you go into an assisted living community or memory care, or if you spend more than 100 days in a nursing home, that is not paid for by Medicare.
It's not?
It's not. You're either going to have to private pay for it out of your own pocket, or if you have a long-term care insurance plan, activate a claim to get assistance and the benefits from that claim. So that's another thing you want to know as you begin this plan. What is the cost of care should you need it? What does that look like? And what are the different types of business models that can effectively help you secure that care when you need it?
Yeah. What about people who'd rather stay in their own home? I know a lot of people like, what does aging in place look like in today's world?
Well, I think there's a big push for individuals to do that. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. I just think that you do have to look at all areas. You know, is the house set up for you to age in place? You know, do you have bars in the handles in the showers?
Yeah.
Are there doorknobs that are easy to open? Have you removed the rugs so any kind of trip hazards are removed? So there are things about making the home safer for you as you age. And then you also want to be aware that if you age in place, what is that cost going to be should you decide to bring care into the home? You have to ask yourself, do you want to move in with your kids? Do you want your kids to take care of you? You know, do you want to, you know, stay in place? And what is that cost going to be? So those are, if you want to stay in your home, you have to do those things. Now, we have a program called Early Advantage that basically is where you are pre-approved as a resident, but you stay in your home. But it locks in that care plan now for what you may need later. And then as you are still in your home, you can come to our campus and use all the services and amenities. You're what we call a member resident.
Yeah.
And that's called Early Advantage. But again, it secures a care plan now while you're still staying in your home.
How can families figure out whether staying at home or moving into a community is a better fit?
I think you have to identify your goals. Okay. First of all, are you surrounded by community? I just cannot stress this enough. Isolation and loneliness leads to so many different types of bad outcomes. I mean, my mom fell and laid for 4 hours before anybody found her.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's, you have to look at, are you in a place that has stairs? You know, do you have an emergency response system if you were to trip?
Yeah.
Who's going to come and check on you every day? So you have to look at your situation and first of all, determine, is it safe for me to stay in the home? Secondly, where is my community? Where's my peeps?
Yeah.
Is someone checking on me? Yeah. If I were to fall, how would I call for help?
Right.
And then you also have to look at lifestyle. You know, are you engaged? Are you learning new things? One of the things we know about brain health is the best thing, three things to do for your brain. Learn new things, listen to music, and get outside.
Use it or lose it.
Yes, you have to.
Yeah.
And if you're just, I mean, I always kind of relate it to, think about the last time you were really sick with the flu or COVID or whatever, and you didn't really go outside. What'd we do? We laid on the couch with the TV remote and we just flipped channel to channel.
And snacked all day.
Yes. And about 4 days of that, how did our body feel? How did our brain feel? Very lethargic and just not sharp. Well, when you spend a lot of time alone in the home, that can happen. So if you're going to stay in the home, ask yourself those questions. You know, do you have the right support system? Is the house physically set up for you to do that? The other thing you want to look at is, are you going to be engaged? One of the things for our residents and really a lot of the communities is there's so many activities. You can pick from so many things to do. And so many of our residents have told us they didn't realize how many things they could discover to do that they had never thought about doing before. You know, tap dancing.
Yeah.
We have a tap dancing team, you know, or just pushing yourself to, you know, Pilates or a boot camp or yoga or painting. Yeah. So many different things that we might have had on our bucket list and then never, you know, moved toward.
You know, Ellen, there's also the financial side.
Yes.
Which can be a challenge for a lot of folks. 100%. So what does the business side of aging really looks like when it comes to cost and planning?
So there's basically two types of business models in our industry. The more traditional one is what's called a fee-for-service business model.
Okay.
What that means is if you move into community, you're going to pay a base monthly fee, and then every time you advance to a different level of care, that's going to increase. So when you go into a community, you could start at maybe $3,000 a month, but by the time that you begin to need care, more and more is added to that. And it could end up costing anywhere from $6,000 a month to more than $12,000 a month per person, depending upon the type of care you need. Now, if you choose to stay in the home and bring care in, then you would be paying an hourly rate to the home care agencies. Right now, that can be anywhere from $12,000 to over $20,000 a month.
Wow.
Depending, yeah, if you have someone coming in 8 hours a day
yeah.
or 24 hours a day. Our business model, along with several other in the area, is we are what's called a life plan community. It means we have all levels of care on one campus. So when someone moves into Westminster Canterbury, a continuing care retirement community, they do not have to move out again to receive a higher level of care. They can still stay at Westminster. But the life care benefit that we offer means that when someone moves in, the monthly fee that they're paying stays stable no matter what level of care they transition through. So someone starts off in independent living, everyone does, and then the monthly fee that you pay stays stable as you transition through the different levels of care. So you have a predictable care cost. Now, we do have annual increases and so on.
Yeah, yeah. So, Alan, how can people budget or prepare for long-term care, especially, as you said, monthly costs can easily top $6,000.
It can. I think yeah. you have to look at all of your asset base. Start with what is the largest asset. Is it the house? You know, what is the equity in the house? What are your other assets? What are the things that you could sell if you needed to? Is there a long-term care insurance plan? Do you have a retirement program, a 401? Just gather all your assets together.
Okay.
You know, and then you want to meet with someone at whatever. I always say visit at least three communities and learn what those communities are, what they're all about. But I tell you what, Dale, the hardest thing that we have to deal with, and we're seeing so many of it, is individuals whose Social Security is their only source of income. And it might be $2,000 a month, yeah. $2,500 a month. And that's the tough part, is how do we help that segment of the population that just does not have the financial resources to go into community. Now, we can help also through our fellowship fund. If someone can meet our criteria, underwriting criteria for a contract, and they have a certain amount of assets, then our fellowship, the foundation, will actually help individuals move into Westminster Canterbury and subsidize their ability to live there the rest of their life.
Okay. So Westminster does help families make sense of that.
Yes, we
do. Find a plan. And
we do. But there are agencies out there. One of the partners that we work quite a bit is Senior Services of Southeastern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They are there to support those people in the Hampton Roads area on the south side that are aging. They can help with home care. They can help with housing. They can help with food insecurities. They're really a great partner, can help with that.
You talk about community and being a crucial part of healthy aging. Do you have any stories you can share about people who may have been disconnected or isolated?
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's so interesting to me to see what happens to a new resident.
Okay.
You know, when they finally have made that move and they move in. In about 45 to 60 days, you can literally see the peace come on their face. And sometimes they actually look like different people. It's just the security of knowing that someone's got their back and that they also can relax. You can breathe. This is my third retirement community. And I can say that at all three of them, I saw the same thing. You know, it's being engaged, having friends around, laughing, you know, sitting
yeah.
out, just enjoying yourself. But you could actually see a physical change come over an individual after about, I'd say about 45 to 60 days once they've made that move in. The other thing is the health, to see them get healthier. Because at most communities, including ours, we have gyms, we have a wellness studio, and we do wellness programs. So now you can start to move. You can move your body.
Yeah.
You know, you can start to feel fit again. I'm telling you, I'm 71 years old, and I'm probably in the best shape of my life. You know, age is just a number. And
yeah.
we can do whatever we want to do. You just got to believe you can.
Yeah, you look excellent.
Thank you.
Your community is faith-based, but very inclusive.
Yes, very much so.
How do those two ideas come together to make Westminster Canterbury such a welcoming place?
Well, a lot of it starts with our residents. It really does. You know, at the end of the day, when you move into community, it doesn't matter what your counselor said or anything like that. It's your neighbors. And how inclusive are they?
Yeah.
And are they going to be kind and loving and look out for you? And, you know, one of the things we've learned, and we hear it all the time when people visit us, I just heard it yesterday, is how vibrant and engaged our campus is. People tell me, you know, I've visited other communities and there wasn't a lot going on. And I come here and you've got residents running around, involved, doing activities and programs. And I think when you do visit a community, that's what you want to look at. So I think what helps us be so inclusive is we've got an inclusive community of residents who are welcoming and kind. You know, I'd love to say that it's 100%, but we know that that's not the case. But the good thing is, we're very open to. I mean, I think it's a very transparent community. Mm-hmm. Our strategy to help people get to know us is come and see us, come and visit us and see what it's all about. Talk to the residents and see how they like living there.
Looking ahead, Ellen, another big question. The MIT report projects a 40% growth in the senior population over the next 25 years. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
How can communities prepare for that shift now?
Well, we should have been preparing for it 5 years ago when we knew this was coming. So according to the U.S. Census, 11,000 people a day are turning 65 and older.
Wow.
11,000 people a day. And by 2030, we will be the largest segment of people over 65 of the population.
Really?
So, yeah, so we're going to have a lot of power out there. So those of us who are over 65. But I think, you know, when we go back about, you know, how do we prepare as a community? How do we look at what's coming is we need to have more conversations. You know, we do have, we're part of the Virginia Beach Task Force on Aging, and we have all kinds of partners that we work with. We have several of our team members are part of the Mayor's Task Force on Aging in Virginia Beach. We're part of Leading Age. We're part of so many different organizations to try to understand how we can do a better job of serving this population.
Okay.
Now, we were just nominated and recognized in the top 20 of continuing care retirement centers in the country by Newsweek magazine.
Congratulations. That's huge.
So we're 19th in the top 20. And it was interesting because what I did is reached out to some of the other 19 to find out what they are doing. And we're all talking about the same thing. How did we prepare for what's coming? It was called the silver tsunami.
Silver tsunami. Yeah.
And it is now here.
Yeah.
I think part of preparing is educating people on how to stay healthy.
Okay.
If we can educate individuals on how to live a healthier life, but also educate individuals on how to create a plan. That's why I like to go out to churches and do these programs, because it does provide great education and insight to their congregation on how to plan for the future.
If anyone's listening would like you to come to their civic association or church, how do they reach out to you?
Absolutely. You can call me. Our phone number in the marketing department at Westminster Canterbury is 757-496-1785. The name is Ellen Duckworth. If you're interested in some of the events that we do, you can certainly go to our website, wcbay.com/events, and you can see events that are coming up. And we always have some very interesting events that are really, really fun to be a part of.
Ellen, if you could leave our audience with just one piece of advice about aging with purpose and peace of mind, what would that be?
Age is just a number. Number one, it's just a number. You know, look at that bucket list. What have you not done yet that you still want to do? And do that. Then the second thing, and I can't say it enough, is have a plan. Even if you're not the one making the decisions, have something written down so for your children so they know, you know, to go and talk to the experts, but have a plan. So do what you can to stay healthy. Recognize that age is only a number. It's never too late to change your health. Change your life. It's never too late. And then the second thing is to create that plan.
Ellen, this has been such an inspiring and important conversation. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
For everything you and Westminster Canterbury are doing for older adults and their families.
Thank you.
If you'd like to learn more, reach out to Westminster Canterbury on Chesapeake Bay. They are dedicated to transforming the experience of aging through belonging, purpose, and wellness. And they can help you begin the journey toward a joyful, well-planned future. That's Hampton Roads Perspectives. I'm Dale Murray. Thanks for spending part of your day with us. Until next time, take care of each other.
This has been Hampton Roads Perspectives. If you would like to share information about an organization or event to be featured on a future program, please send us an email. The address is hrp@audacy.com or write to Odyssey,
236 Clearfield Avenue, Suite 206, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23462. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of Odyssey Radio. Hampton Roads Perspectives is a public service of Odyssey.